The ABC has revealed that pedophiles are using the dark web to share information about how to gain access to childcare centres to sexually abuse babies and toddlers while avoiding getting caught. A Four Corners investigation has uncovered private forums where predators coach each other and post proof of their abuse. In its investigation, the program spoke to international sex offender expert Dr. Michael Burke.
Predators are drawn to childcare for the same reason that fishermen are drawn to the place where there's the most fish. The predators are going to look for any prey-rich environment, any environment in which there's children, and then there's a decreased chance of being detected, right? And they also trade information online with each other. So once they find somewhere where the rules aren't enforced, or a system like childcare where people are getting away with all kinds of things, that goes viral in pedophilic networks.
That's a soundbite from last night's Four Corners investigation. Earlier this year, federal, state and territory education leaders rolled out a series of reforms to protect kids. But the question is, do the measures go far enough? Gillian Lisa is the Shadow Minister for Education and Early Learning and joins me in our Parliament House studio. Gillian Lisa, welcome back to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Sally. Good to be with you.
What do you make of this latest investigation into the childcare sector by journalist Adele Ferguson? If pedophiles are sharing tips on how to infiltrate childcare centres, is the problem even bigger than we initially thought?
I think, yes, it is, Sally. It was one of the most chilling things I have ever seen on television, Adele Ferguson's report. It's an excellent report that Australians who are concerned about this issue should watch. I think when you had instances of a husband and wife couple who were running a childcare centre who are pedophiles, where you had a man who said that he wanted to have a child in order to be able to abuse that child, when you saw the coaching of people online as to how to enter these childcare centres, it was just chilling. And I think this morning, as people are listening to your program, getting their kids ready to take them to childcare centres, we have to have an environment where people know that their kids are going to be safe. This is the most precious people in the entire world to parents. And we need to do everything we can to ensure that that families are safe. And we've offered bipartisan support for measures that the government has brought forward in the past, and we continue to do that. And I've written to the minister again this morning following this report. We introduced a piece of legislation in the last couple of weeks talking about mandatory minimum sentences for child sex offenders who produce and distribute material online. We call on the government to consider this and to pass this, because we've got to get these people off the streets, and we've got to make sure our children are protected, and we'll consider any reasonable measures.
These dark web forums where pedophiles are trading information give an insight into how organised and strategic these predators have become. How do we combat this kind of systemic problem?
In the context of the bill that I mentioned a minute ago, Susan Lee, Andrew Wallace and I were consulting over the last couple of weeks with experts in these areas, and the depravity of people and the way in which they go about it is truly chilling. And we have people in Australia who are expert in these things, in the Australian Centre for Countering Child Exploitation. We have a range of civil society organisations who are following people, but we need to ensure that we're giving law enforcement adequate tools. We need to ensure that the childcare regulators have the tools that they need as well. And that's why I've written again to the minister this morning to offer our support, because this just can't be allowed to continue. And we need to throw the book at these people, and we need to ensure that we're throwing every resource to weed people out of the system and to bring people who are engaging in child sexual exploitation on the web or the dark web to justice.
Does the opposition support a national childcare commission to oversee the sector?
I think we've got to look at every available alternative here, Sally, because the prime duty that we all have in this building is to guarantee the safety of children as they go to childcare centres. That's the most important thing that we can do. And so we've got to consider all options. And if it's a sensible option and a reasonable option, then I think we should consider it.
A Western Sydney childcare centre has announced it will suspend operations to rebuild its staff team from the ground up days after two workers were charged with allegedly assaulting a child. What are parents' options in these circumstances?
Well, it's very difficult for parents who are looking to send their children to childcare centres. As we know, there are shortages of childcare places in different areas. I read the report of the centre at Doonside this morning, and there's a family there who'd been looking to get into a childcare centre and had found this particular place. I think we do need to have a look again at the way the whole system is structured. I think we need to ensure that parents have got proper choice. Parents know best how to raise their kids. Parents know what is best for their children. And I think it's incumbent on us to create choices for parents to ensure that they can ensure that their kids are safe.
On another matter, the government is pushing ahead with its plan to overhaul Australia's environmental laws. The business community has been critical of the coalition's efforts to split the bill. Does the coalition need to pay more attention to what the business community is seeking here?
Our job in these issues is to judge what's in the national interest here. And my colleague Angie Bell and Susan Lee have together written to the minister calling on the bill to be split, because while we want to see environmental reform, we want to ensure that we have proper environmental protection in Australia, we also need to balance that against the productivity of the country. The productivity forum that the government held was a reminder that the way in which projects are taking such a long time to get approved has become a real issue here. And that's why we offered to split the bill, which is what we did when we were in government. One looking at the approvals process and the other looking at the more contentious matters. If we're going to deliver on projects like the critical minerals project that the Prime Minister and President Trump agreed to in the last couple of weeks, we've got to have a system which allows for projects to get up and running.
Just finally, on a separate issue, the Liberal Party is having multiple meetings this week about its policy on net zero. What on earth is going on?
We are going through a process where after an election where we lost, after two elections on the trot where we lost 30 seats, we're reviewing our policies. And Dan Tehan has put together a process where everybody's going to have a chance to have their say. We'll resolve on a policy direction after that time based on our values. But at the same time, under this government, emissions are going up, prices are going up, and reliability is going down.
Can you be an effective opposition so many months out from the election without a policy?
Well, as you say, we're a couple of years away from an election. This is the policy formulation
out from
process.
The last. Mm.
Well, it's only 5 months since the last election, and this is a sort of Bismarck laws and sausages moment. We are looking at our new direction, and we're having a debate, and people are expressing different views. That's exactly what you want in a democracy. But we will resolve the right outcome that's good for our country.
Julian Lisa, I appreciate you coming into the studio this morning. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sally.
Julian Lisa is the Shadow Minister for Education and Early Learning, joining me there.